my friends. This is Andy and Andy coming to you live from Orange County, California, not at 10:50 p.m., but 10:50 a.m.
Surprise! 10:50 p.m. Who could we possibly get to watch at that hour?
I don't know. That'd be an interesting experiment, though. See who's up and can't sleep because
pajama version.
Yeah.
Not the nighttime version, but the pajama version.
I could wear my onesie.
You could wear your onesies.
So good. Yeah, those of you on the podcast who can't see, I had scheduled it to go live, but it was at 10 p.m. I was wondering why it wasn't going. And then when I hit the live button, it dawned on me. I put it for 10 p.m., not...
Not that it's relevant to the podcast, no, people, but just so you understand what we're talking about.
Not that anybody really cares. How are you this morning? We've had a very exciting morning.
Yes, we have.
We visit some of my friends. I have a mastermind group that I work with in the morning. My good friend, Everett O'Keefe, and I run a mastermind. You had a chance to be featured in there. It was really good.
Yes. Learning the book publishing world.
Publishing, marketing.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff. So
it's dizzying.
You have folks. Some amazing friends. If you don't belong to a mastermind and you are an entrepreneur, you might want to consider it because you can really hear from other people because you can get tired of hearing yourself.
And then you're alone with your own thoughts and your own ideas. But your format seems great because you're all in the publishing business, right?
Right.
So you get to hear what other people are doing and their techniques and what's working, what's not working. I love it. I think it's a great idea.
It's kind of like a devotional too, but because you can fall in love with your own thoughts and your own beliefs and the things that you think are true. Like, oh my gosh, I am so amazing.
I'm this such thing. A great Christian.
And well, then the person will not. Say, that, I don't think that's from God.
Is it God or the devil?
Right. All right. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth devotional. This is the book that you're going to want to get. And make sure that you're following along at home, or if you are not available to watch one of our devotionals or hit us on the podcast, then you will have the book to be able to read for yourself. And so today's devotional for October 14th is entitled "Let Kingdom Life Reign." Let Kingdom Life Reign. The reference is Romans 15:2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And edification, as you so smartly pointed out, is educating your neighbor. So let each of us please his neighbor for his good, so that at some point you can then begin to tell him about Christ. Is that what this?
That everything that you tell them is leading to educating them. It's not to criticize them or harm them. That's what all you'll find relevant in the scripture reading.
It's even better. The scripture reading is, thank you for the lead in, Romans 14:12-15:2. Smith says, if it is only a finger or a tooth that aches, if it is only a corn on your foot that pinches you or anything in the body that distracts you or detracts you from the highest spiritual attainment, the kingdom of heaven is dethroned to a degree. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence.
Interesting interpretation.
Yeah. by the word of God, I am proving to you that the kingdom of heaven is within you. Greater is he that is in you, the Son of God, the kingdom of heaven within you, than he that is in the world, the power of Satan outside you. Disease and weakness or any distraction in you is a power of violence that can take the kingdom of heaven in you by force. The same spiritual power that will reveal this to you will relieve you. On the authority of the word of God, I maintain that greater is he that is in you than any power of Satan that is around you. And how much more would be done if you would inwardly claim your rights and deliver yourselves? Mm. I believe the Bible from front to back. If by the power of God, I put in you an audacity, a determination so that you won't let Satan rest, you will be victorious. Praise the Lord.
Nice.
Why do I take this attitude? Because for every step of my life since my baptism, I have had to pay the price of everything for others. God has to take me through the place so that I may be able to show the people how to do it. Some people come up to me and say, I have been waiting for the baptism and I am having such a struggle. I am having to fight for every inch of it. Isn't it strange? No, 1,000 to 1. God is preparing you to help somebody else who is deserving to receive it.
Oh, nice.
The reason I am so firm about the necessity of getting the baptism in the Holy Spirit and about the significance of the Spirit's making a manifestation when he comes in is this. I fought it. I went to a meeting because I had heard people were speaking in tongues there. I forced myself on the attention of those in the meeting, almost like a man who was mad. I told the people there, "This meeting of yours is nothing. I have left better conditions at home. I am hungry and thirsty for something." What do you want? They asked. "I want tongues." You want the baptism? They asked. "Not I." I said, "I have the baptism. I want tongues. I could have had a fight with anybody. The whole situation was this. God was training me for something else. The power of God fell upon my body with such ecstasy of joy that I could not satisfy the joy within with my natural tongue. Then I found the Spirit speaking through me in other tongues. What did it mean? I knew that I had had anointings of joy before this and expressions of the blessed attitude of the Spirit of life and joy in the Holy Spirit. I had felt it all the way through my life. But when the fullness came from a high tide with an overflowing life, I knew that was different from anything else. And I knew that was the baptism, but God had to show me. Thought for today, the Bible won't have an atom of power in you if you don't put it into practice in yourself.
So before we start, I just want to go back over this. Is him saying, the reason I am so firm about the necessity of getting the baptism is because I fought it. Mm. And 1,000 to 1, God is preparing you to help somebody else who is desiring to receive it. So I think both of us can attest to our walk with the Lord is a tool which we have in our toolbox now to help somebody else walk with Christ. And we see that, right? Hmm. We've experienced what Smith is saying here, because basically he's saying everything that you fought for to draw closer to God is something you're going to use as practical advice to help somebody else draw closer. And I think that's what we try to do every day with these devotionals is basically encouraging our listeners. If you don't feel this amazing power of God within you, which is what he talks about in the beginning, this amazing power of the Spirit that Satan is literally by force of violence trying to pull out of you. And if you don't feel the adventure of what being filled with the Holy Spirit feels like, then fight for it. Then pursue it. Try this, try that. We give these practical examples of how we're using it in our lives. And these are just small examples. We're just everyday people. But I think that's what I really like about this message is he's saying that don't think it comes easy. Hmm. And every step that you took, because I often ask the Lord, I struggle. I went through a very difficult, at times very joyous, professionally and emotionally in Islam, but it was coming out of the depths of hell at points for me. And when I would originally, when I first came to Christ and I would cry, like, why did I go down this road? He's like, because you're going to use every step of this. None of it goes to waste in divine calculation, because I will use it to help others. Hmm. And it's my practical experience, whether it's understanding the theology of Christ as opposed to the false theology of Islam, or it's personal, it's overcoming things personally. All of it should be used for the glory of God to help others. Hmm.
Sorry, I need to go back to this. So
it's not just about us.
Right.
As much as we'd like to think it is, but it's about what you're going to help others with.
And this line that was above that paragraph we just read, it says, I have been waiting for the baptism and I am having such a struggle. I'm having to fight for every inch of it. Isn't it strange? No, 1,000 to 1. God is preparing you to help somebody else who is desiring to receive it. Yes. So. Uh, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking that is it the story of the struggle to the, like, there were times, and the only reason I'm hesitating because I felt like there was times that I was struggling against God.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Okay,
too. That's that he made.
So I'm just wondering. Gosh, I got to now figure out is it to say, hey, no matter how much I fought against God, no matter how much I cussed him when I was mad at him, no matter how much I thought that I was going to join these other, you know, faiths and do other things and maybe just become atheist, that he is the story to somebody who's desiring it. Like, see, it was the opposite.
There's two versions of your story, though. There's two there's many chapters, but there's two pivotal chapters.
Because I'm afraid of confirming with somebody, oh yes, well, that's how I feel. I don't know that I believe in God. I don't know that I believe the Bible is true. I don't know.
I did not. You mean in the past tense?
Yes.
See, so to me, there's two chapters.
Yep.
So your testimony involves the chapter where you were skeptical. And you didn't know whether you believed God and all the bad things in the world, and you didn't have explanations. So there's that chapter. But you have to see your second chapter. Once you were a believer, mm-hmm. and you were in church, and you were teaching Bible studies and making presentations, but your life was a mess. That you know what I mean? That you still fought for the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you were walking around as a Christian without walking with Christ.
Right.
And you fought for that too.
Mm.
So there's a pivotal point where you actually believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved, but your life didn't look like it.
Correct.
So you know what I mean? So your life did not represent being filled with the Holy Spirit. And quite frankly, you probably weren't. So you were believing. So like the parable of the sower is that seed falls on the ground mm-hmm. and it either gets choked out because it isn't watered with the Spirit, it isn't filled with the Spirit, or it grows in good soil. So you had a pivotal moment where you received the Holy Spirit and then life started to change. And so I've seen a lot of your friends look at you and be like, hey, because your experience is very, very different than mine. It's very different than taking somebody that was in Islam, but you have a lot of friends that are Christians by name and they're like, wait a minute, what did you do to be this person? Because I knew the other Christian Andy, but this person is different than that Andy. Mm. And so it's helping people draw closer to a spirit-filled life as opposed to just being a Christian. And we do that every day, even with you're doing that even with the broadcasts about schools. We talk about it all the time in terms of fighting for our values, for our country, is that a spirit-filled life that puts the kingdom first, seek first the kingdom and the rest will be added unto you, is basically what we're trying to encourage our listeners that are believers, is that you have to fight for it even in the world. You can't just take your toys and run back to your bedroom and be like, wow, I'm spirit-filled. This is awesome. You have to lead others to it. Mm. You have to help others with this journey so that they could also lead spirit-filled lives and fearless living in the kingdom. And that means suffering persecution. That means being ostracized. That means being ridiculed. And you've gone through some version of each of those. And I think we're going to continue to go through versions of that. But we want to encourage other people to walk that road because it's a glorious road. Despite its difficulties.
Right. That helps. Because I think that my concern when reading this and when I was trying to kind of work it out in my head is that I didn't want to be that example that sometimes the kids will go to from time to time. And let's just talk about maybe, let me think of something. Just debauchery. I'm just going to use the debauchery. So is that you can say, oh, yeah, you know, I participated in this or that in some debauchery. And, but thank God I'm here now. And they'll say, well, see, you got to do it and you made it through. So I want to experience that too. And then later I will experience God. That was my struggle, is that what he was saying, you know, there is that, you know, I struggled. It was difficult. I went all this other stuff. And now I'm going to teach people who are kind of on the, you know, that are on their way, their desires, and go, oh, wait a minute. You were able to be this other, you know, to go through all this stuff.
What a cost.
I know. So that's the thing I think that has to be remembered, is that look what I lost
Yeah.
And because I mean, they can look at some, at some aspect. I mean, there was that period of time when I had two houses. I had a BMW, I had a truck, and I had five police cars and all this kind of stuff. So on the surface, it looks like, well, look at, see, you are not a great person. And look at all you had.
But you lost it.
And then I lost it. I want them to wait for that part of the story.
Yeah,
that,
for sure.
You know, you get a $2 million check or something like that. It all looks great. But if you have to spend $3 million, and you only got a $2 million check, that's a problem. That's not, that is not good.
Well, my first accountant, when I became a federal contractor and I had to have audited financial returns, he's like, government money's like crack. Feels really good, but it'll kill you. And I was like, huh? Yeah, and I mean, and you experienced that too. It's like, yeah. You know, when you achieve a lot of wealth, but you don't know what to do with it. So yep. But even without God, if you don't have all your ducks in a row, that kind of stuff could kill you. And I mean, it's not only a lesson to our kids, but it's to other young people or other people that walk the road saying, well, wow, you turned out okay. No, you can't look at the gifts and the anointing that the Lord gives you to give your testimony to excuse the behavior mm-hmm. behind you. My dad does that to me too. He's like, well, you didn't turn out so bad. I couldn't have been that bad of a father. And I was like, wait, Dad.
Do you understand?
That's not fair. You cannot take credit for this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, horrible parts of this journey have been horrible and say, well, you turned out okay. What we're trying to do is help people to not only live fearlessly so that they could have a spirit-filled life, but to avoid right. some of those pitfalls and be like, that never ends anywhere good.
Yeah. It reminds me of some artists that, you know, has a movie that just is a blockbuster. And it's the, you know, the first time you've seen this person, it's their first blockbuster, or an artist writes a song. And it looks like an overnight success.
Yeah,
and
make you're a like, oh, you're an overnight success.
He goes, no, I've been doing this for freaking 20 years.
Right.
and you have no idea how many dive bars I had to sing in. And there were like two people that were drunk.
Exactly.
Right. And they tell these stories like, no, you have no idea. I traveled right. around in a VW van for 10 years before I had this overnight
exactly.
success.
That you see as an overnight success. Exactly.
And that's why we talk about this with podcasting and that kind of stuff. And I love Dan Bongino. Gino, of course, but you know, people say, "Wow, he's like near the top. He's like one of the top three podcasters that are out there right now, and just killing it like crazy." And people go, "Oh yeah, you know, you have this overnight success." He goes, "I've been doing this for a very long time. Yeah. I've been doing this for 15 years, and it's now hitting on all cylinders. But it took a long time to get there." Absolutely. So the moral again is that you know you can either see the success and think, "Well, that's great." You know, and now how can I get that? Well, you have to spend 10 years doing it. Same thing in the reverse way is that when people are watching us and saying, wow, you guys love God and it seems to have made a difference in a great relationship. You guys are, you know, what a great couple you are. And so, yeah, but we had a couple leading up to
this. Dead bodies behind us.
We had a couple of decades of a whole bunch of other shenanigans that you have no idea. That all of that is kind of why we're here. It's
exactly.
because we needed to be saved. We needed God. If we wouldn't have God, we'd probably, be somewhere else. I'd be in one of those tents along the.
I'd still be wrapped up like a mummy.
Living in a commune. So I love this now. I mean, I was a little confused in the beginning because I surely didn't want to be the person that would say, you know, yeah, you can go through all this stuff and look at how you end up. You know, you just got to accept God later. We don't have time, especially today. You don't have time. Why go through all? And that's what I was talking to the kids the other day. I forget which one. Maybe it was Ray and Kelly. I can't remember. But, you know, just talking about the things they're going to be tempted with and those kinds of stuff. And they sometimes will either act like I don't know what I'm talking about, you know, being a police officer 21 years and having been a teenager, you know, in the 80s when Coke was like crazy.
Right.
Having gone through even the AIDS, you know, epidemic.
Right. And, promiscuity and the risk of right. it. It's like Russian roulette.
And so I want you to know that just because I did those things or been through them, I'm telling you as a person who has gone through it, that you don't want to do it.
Yes.
That it leads to nowhere good. You may think it's all fun and games, all kinds of stuff. And you can hear stories, you know, whatever, you know, you're reading now, you know, whatever movies you're watching from back then. And it looks like all kinds of fun, but you have to trust me to the best of your ability, that I know what I'm talking about, that it may seem fun, but there was a lot of heartache.
And they don't film the throwing up and and the missing and the couples that break and your broken heart. And they don't film those parts. Some of the movies do, but for the most part, not. And I also remind Zara, my daughter, is that we have a tremendous amount of addiction in our family line. Mm. And I told her, I said that, you know, when you have a lot of addiction in the family, that means it's a stronghold from a spiritual perspective, but it's also partly genetic. But I said that, you know, we don't handle alcohol well. We don't handle excesses well in this family, in this bloodline on either side. And I said, you know, personally, you have half siblings that have serious problems with what are now not illegal substances, but were at one time illegal substances. And I said that, you know, drinking, I said, so you could be that, you could start with your first drink and it will lead to destroying your life where you could have five friends and it will do nothing of the kind.
Right.
So you have to be wary of not only the spiritual commandments, which we hope that they think first and foremost, but also the sociological conditions, the genetic conditions that may predetermine them to have a harder time than other people.
And the Holy Spirit talks to you no matter what. I mean, there was no doubt that there were times that I was about to do something and the Holy Spirit said, why don't you stay home tonight? Why don't you go to church tonight? Why don't you do something else? Yes. And I said, I got this. I got this, Holy Spirit. And so my end of that, the same discussion was that listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, and you can hear it. He's whispering to you, and you know on a personal level, not just from the Holy Spirit, but you know what is wrong and right. And you're going to be tempted with things that, you're going to be given things, not tempted, but you're going to be given things. And I want you to know that if the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up, that don't participate in whatever it is you're given, namely things that are being laced now with fentanyl. Aspirins are being laced with fentanyl, a whole bunch of stuff. I said, don't accept anything from anybody. If you have a question, call me, or simply don't take it.
Right.
I mean, even from some people that you may, you know, an athlete that you're side by side, hey, I take this to help me with the ache that I have in my shoulder.
Right. Don't, or even just a drink at a party. Yep. I've worn Zara since she was really little because people, girls getting roofied all the time, that just don't even accept a drink from somebody else. Make sure you know who poured it.
Yeah. Hey, Tim Fox says witness.
Amen. Hey, brother. Nice to see you.
That is awesome. Just really quick, make sure that you are commenting like Tim just did. That would be important if anything is coming to you in regard to this devotional or some words of wisdom you may have in regard to, you know, avoiding debauchery.
Yes, avoiding Tim's a witness. Tim can witness to people all day long about the consequences of debauchery.
Yeah. Let's get into the scripture, the Romans 14:12 through 15:2.
Yeah, it's kind of long, but I think it's a really important passage. I actually love this part when the debates about food come up, because a lot of people, we talked about this the other day, a lot of people ascribe to the Old Testament rules about food, and they fight with the pork eating version, the pork eating half of the Christian community. Yeah. And so this is actually a constant debate. So I love what Paul says in this section. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God, not of other people, of himself. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For in the kingdom of God, it is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves in Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and for the things by which one may edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Mm. Do you have faith? Have it yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is of sin. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So, slightly complicated, complex series of scripture, but I'm just going to do my attempt to summarize it.
So just really quick, let me just take a jab at this. Yes. Does that mean if you're going to go to somebody's having a bar mitzvah, you don't...
But that's a Jew.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay. So I'm just giving this as an example that you wouldn't come with... unclean. Ham. Yeah, I was going to say. Or BLTs, a bunch of BLTs for everybody.
Well, now I'm going to take it a step.
Or eat one in
but
front
of... But this scripture is related to brothers.
Oh.
So this is about so believers. I will give you a more concrete example. Remember when we went to my friend Mariama's house, I did not know her dietary rules. So I asked her, do you eat pork? Mm. Because I know that in the kingdom amongst believers, there are some who don't and some who do. Oh. And he's saying here, do not argue about it, because if some who eat it think it is clean, everything is of itself clean. But if you eat it thinking it is unclean, then it's a sin. Or if you eat it knowing that your brother thinks it's unclean and it makes him stumble or weak, then you've sinned.
Oh, wow.
Same with alcohol. And this is scripture we often cite. So I got in a disagreement once with an associate pastor at my old church over drinking. And I said, I hear you drink and I hear our lead pastor drinks. And I said, aren't you concerned about making the brother stumble? And she's like, well, we don't hold up glasses of wine at service, but I don't think what I do in my private life matters. And this is a huge issue for pastors. Pastor Jack brought it up. He says, I don't drink, period. I don't want people seeing me drink, and I don't want to make others stumble. So the more you rise in people's eyes publicly, then you have to be careful the example you set, because it's very important that your behavior or what you allow, because drinking is not prohibited, you have to be careful about what you allow that causes others to be weak or to stumble.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So I had a completely, not completely different, but different take from this.
Yeah, this is specifically about the
Believers.
Believers. Huh. Yes. And he's like, and I like this part also, therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So he's saying, don't, if you're a great pastor and you have this great anointing, don't ruin that because of what you eat and drink. You know, don't upset people by insisting that they eat one thing or another, about being careful about drinking in public when people think, yeah. Thanks, Tim. Tim says, yeah. So it's a huge responsibility to think first and foremost about brotherly love and about unity and about peace and doing things that support your brother and sister in faith and not antagonize them.
Wow. Nice explanation. Good job. I'm going to keep you around on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Matthew 11:12. We've talked about this a few times, but yeah, it's brought up again.
New.
So.
And it's new. His interpretation this time is new. Up until today, we've been talking about this kingdom of taking has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force as being believers that are passionate about getting what Christ had to offer. Mm-hmm. But today he talks about it in terms of Satan trying to rip the goodness out of us. And so he says to be careful about the same spiritual power that will reveal this to you will relieve you. And on the authority of God, remember that who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Otherwise, the kingdom of heaven is dethroned to a degree. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. So he's saying that Satan can pull that power out of you by tempting you, distracting you, making you sick, whatever it may be.
Well, that's not something I don't know that either one of us focused on about this issue that he brought up even yesterday. And that is that Satan will put these pains and aches in you.
Yeah.
And you have great back pain from time to time, and it's worse than other times. I have this stupid knee that is a little bit wonky from time to time, is very painful, but it's so easy for us to be taken off our game because of those pains.
Yes.
If I were to tweak, and this may have happened, I'm not sure, but if I were to tweak my knee at the moment one of the kids, says something, maybe they want attention, and I go, I'll be right. Like, it'll change your tone.
So good at that.
Yeah.
He is so good at that.
Like, it'll take this moment that maybe the child needs something or needs us to be godly. And because our knee hurts, we're not.
And all he has to do is go, ding.
Yeah. Isn't that something? I mean, I never even thought of it that way, that our sickness and our illness and our aches and pains are the way the devil, works against us in those moments.
And I go through this with the Lord all the time, because some of the sickness, I've talked about it before, some of the sickness, when I had a cancer scare, I just sat down and I prayed in tongues. I prayed to the Lord. I was like, no, we are not doing this. You have put a thing on my, you've put a purpose on my life, and I'm not going to allow Satan to take it. So you need to get rid of this. And then when it comes to my back, I've not been able to get rid of it. And I tell you, every time I go to empty the dishwasher or fill the dishwasher and my back is killing me, Satan tempts me to be like, how many times a day do you have to do this? Literally running through in my head, basically.
Why does this family need to eat?
Really, you're jabbing it home to me, like constantly. Everything that I have to pick up, Satan uses it as a weapon to attack me. And I'm like, not going to let you do it. Not going to let you do it. Bend down. I put a seat in the laundry room. I put a little stool in there, because every time I reached down into there to put away towels or clothes, I was just like, he would get me with it.
Another thing I just thought of, and it wasn't necessarily from what you just said, but these illnesses, especially with men, it now, what he's saying here is that our faith is for other people. Our faith and our testimony is for us to bring other people to Christ. But when we are sick, it's all about us.
Yes.
Again, with men, it is so much like, oh, I don't feel good. Aren't you going to wait on me? Aren't you going to do this for me? Like, it's another way of bringing us into the flesh.
Right. You said about, yelling at the family as a result.
Yeah.
That's what Satan wants me to do, is to feel the pain so that I yell and I ruin my witness.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And it's just, it's so bad. It's so bad.
I wonder why we avoided that. I mean, I don't know if we avoided it consciously, subconsciously or consciously, but it's like, I saw it and I go, I need to talk about that, but I never was able to bring it up. Just to bring it out a little bit more and flesh it out a little bit more. No pun intended.
About pain, you mean?
About pain and how it's been used very powerfully in my life.
And up until now, I never had it.
Oh.
I literally had no pains in my body ever until we got married. Yes.
Well, it's, I'm not saying yours is, but I'm just telling, I know that I think I talked about this. I've read a few books on back pain, and so much back pain is related to psychological issues that are going on, stress. And, the ways of getting through that is sometimes through hypnotherapy, which may not be Christian, but I'm just telling you, I know that people have said that because it's a mental thing in many cases.
Yes.
I tell a story that I remember fighting with somebody in my old life, in my old Andy, in my office. This happened probably more than once, where I was angry about something, fighting with, a person close to me, and was just so angry. Like, I carried the anger to the office. Then I did not let the anger go. And then I just kept going over, you can go over something in your head.
Take every thought captive under the command of Christ Jesus.
Yeah. And I picked up this little tiny box that was cardboard. And it was empty. And I bent over to pick it up and I fell to the ground in back pain. It hit me so hard. And the devil just said, not only I'm going to make you angry, I'm going to take you down. And I went down. But so much of our pains and illnesses come from the stress that we do not hand over to God. That's why I think it's so important to listen to scripture when it says that give it to God, allow him to carry the yoke.
Yes.
That these are some of the things that you're going to be relieved of Yes. If you have that ability to do that. Anxiety and depression is also one of those things that I've suffered from greatly that has really almost gone to zero since, you know, following Christ in a more deep way.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's pretty awesome.
At times a little annoying, but very beautiful.
I love you.
I love you too.
Ray, hi, Anna, Ray. Is Ray new? Have we seen Ray before?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he agrees with all this stuff that we're bringing up right now. Thank you, Ray, for visiting and commenting. So important. Again, when you're watching the replay or if you're watching live, it's awesome that you comment because that really helps other people see the broadcast. And so that would be great if you could do that. Oh, new.
And just so for our podcast listeners, we broadcast live. And so we're reading comments from the broadcast.
Absolutely. Ray says, give it all to God. He will see you through.
Yes.
And he's new. Awesome.
And sometimes easier said than done, right, Ray? Mm-hmm. It's like you get inside your head. And I think that's what Smith's pointing out too, is that what we've been talking about is he'll hit you with something that he knows is a trigger. Mm-hmm. So a pain in your body, a thought that you're always anxious about will feed you those particular trigger points. And it's up to us to be like, Lord, I'm handing this over to you. I'm not today, Satan, not today. I see you trying to do this to me and I'm not going to let you do it.
When you're in the grips of Satan, there's no other way to put it. It's just the common saying, it's just a snowball effect. It's just really one thing leads to the next and he just grips hold of you and he just wraps you up, right? With all this stuff, like knee, back, anger, so much anger that you bust a windshield with your fist. Like we saw the guy do the other day. That guy was like, right, oh my gosh, I saw Satan come out of the sky and go right into this guy. You don't know the story, but we told it the other day is that we were at a place and having lunch outside. Now I know why you don't want to eat at places that the outdoor patio is overlooking the parking lot.
Yes.
Because we saw a man and another guy in a car get into an argument. And the one man on foot, another man in the car, and he was pointing at him and using the middle finger and screaming at him.
And he was an older guy. He must have been in his late 60s.
And he got OC'd. But just to use the story in this thing is that anger, you saw it just building up and building up. And at any point, he could have listened to the Holy Spirit. You know, if he had Christ living in him, I don't know that if he does or not, that would have been a good question for his wife, that would have came in at some point and saying, okay, nothing good is going to come from this. He's in his car. And I'm arguing with a guy in his car who could turn into me. He could take off. He can back up into me.
He pepper sprayed him, by the way. The guy in the car leaned out his window and pepper sprayed the other guy.
So the guy in foot.
It was all she wrote at that point.
The guy in foot ends up beating up the car. Right.
Smash the windshield like a body fell from five stories down.
It was amazing what he did with the fist. This is an older guy. He's got to be in his 60s, I would think, right?
Late 60s.
Late 60s. He kicked the car, he hit the hood, and then he busted the windshield.
With his fist.
You would have thought a body went through, you know, hit the windshield.
Yes, and then he called the paramedics because he probably was finished after that.
Broke his hand probably and a bunch of other stuff.
But you're right. It's the spirit in you and God's protection that tells you, you know what, walk away. Mm. That did not happen. And me and Andy, their investigator situational awareness, are sitting and going, this is not going anywhere good. Like, I'm thinking, do I need a duck? Like, I asked him, I was like, are either of these guys going to pull out a gun? Well, he pulled out pepper spray, but had he shot him, we don't know what could have happened. Yeah. You know,
Somebody thought that it was a gun at some point. Somebody said he's got a gun.
Well, right.
Yeah, I remember somebody saying that out loud. I want to give another example. Remember, we were coming out of church the other day, and as we were approaching the light where we crossed the street where we are parked, there was a man on a bicycle. No, he was, I don't know what he was doing. Was he a scooter or something like that? I don't know what he was. He was wearing all black and had a mask, and he was taunting the Christians as they were coming out of this church. And I forget what he was saying. He said, oh, God bless you. God bless you. He was God be with you. He was doing these weird, and he was just trying to provoke somebody.
Yes.
But that the same holiness that was in the people, the same Holy Spirit that was in the people coming out could have jumped into the man that was in the parking lot near Belinda. That it's the same thing. right?
Yes.
Anybody could have just smacked that guy in the face. He was very obnoxious and he was getting, he wouldn't move. He had to walk around him and he goes, why are you bumping into me? He was accusing people of trying to run into him and bump into him. And the difference is, as people, and they were saying, God bless you. And we will be praying for you. And although he was mocking the people that do that, that's the difference. Because yeah. that too could have turned into a situation
Absolutely.
Where, and imagine him outside of a, I'm going to use rap, outside of a rap concert, outside the forum, right?
Right.
And saying, you know, saying something, oh, you guys, you know, saying whatever he could to get them. He would have got punched in the face.
Yes.
He may have been shot.
Yes.
At a Dodger San Francisco Giants game, if he would have said, you know, why do you root for the Dodgers? Why are you?
They suck.
You
know, they whatever. Suck. Yeah.
yeah. And we've seen that happen. And so it doesn't take much, but it really is when the Holy Spirit's in you and you just say, you know what does this mean? What is this going to mean in my day? The thing that it will mean the most is if you, you know, bless him, say you're going to pray for him, it could change that man's road. Eventually, it could be one of the seeds that leads them to God later on.
Amen.
That I tried to provoke all these people. They did nothing.
They did nothing.
They were so peaceful.
We smiled and giggled.
Yeah. Did that all come together?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. What a crazy story. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, what a world. What a world we live in, Ray. I mean, we're in Yorba Linda, the land of gracious living. It's not like we're down in Compton or anything. It was. And the funny thing was his wife just continuing to eat her soup in the restaurant. She was not going to be bothered with what was happening to him.
It's like he does it every day. Like, well, this is what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
That was interesting. Now that you bring it up, she never left the table.
She never left the table, never stopped eating her soup. She just was, good tomato soup. And he was, his hand was broken. He was pepper spraying.
Talking to the four ambulance deputies.
Came.
Yeah, four deputies
she
came.
Just, she didn't move from her spot.
Wow.
oh, no way. What? That's so crazy. Why sit there? I'm a wife. I would not just sit there. Well, Ray, that's what I got to tell you is that I went over to like give her a hug and be like, I'm sorry. You didn't expect this when you woke up today and you left the house to go have lunch with your husband. And I'm really sorry that this is happening to you. And she's like, thank you. But she wasn't very receptive to my words. And I just thought to myself, I don't know what's sadder, that your husband just beat up a random stranger or that you're so disconnected from one another that you're not even over there, to see whether he's okay or not. And she saw the entire restaurant. We're all outside, like news commentators commenting on what's happening. And we didn't know she was among us. He came over afterwards. So she just was listening to all of us staring and gaping and yelling and doing all kinds of things as a result. And she just,
yeah,
she just was like, whatever.
She was sitting there with us.
Yeah. Yes. She was, Ray says, wow, that's so sad. She's disconnected to what's going on in her own life. Yes.
Mm. Wow. All right. Anything else on the devotional or the scripture that we read that's coming to mind?
No, I think the scripture is really important. I don't know if any of you are the kind of folks that argue about the pork eating or wine drinking, but it's come up a lot for me, especially as a former Muslim. I actually did not eat pork until I read 2 Peter, where Peter has this vision of unclean animals coming down on a sheet, and the Lord kept telling him to eat. And he's like, but Lord, I don't eat unclean animals. And he's like, there is nothing unclean. And it just motivated me to start eating pork. And it's awesome.
So you finished that scripture, you got in your car and went and got a
plate of ribs, baby back ribs. Actually, literally, I left service and the Lord's like, do not make unclean what I have made clean. And I'm like, I'm a pork eater. But I'm still very conscious of the fact that a lot of people don't. And I try to be as respectful as possible.
That's awesome. I love that story. That's one of my favorite stories. I read scripture and went out and got some ribs.
Yes. Following Jesus is so much fun. If it's not fun, folks, you got to make it fun.
I've never read scripture and went out and found myself some manna.
Well, you can't, because God's got to send you manna.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully during the apocalypse, we won't have to rely on that, but you never know. peanut butter may become our manna.
All right, my friends, I'm gonna be more bold and ask you to do a few things, and that is to make sure and subscribe to our shows. We'd really appreciate it. That would be amazing. You can find them on YouTube. We now have a Living Fearless Devotional YouTube channel, so if you can go there, subscribe, hit the bell so you can be reminded. That'll just be allow us to be able to show that people are watching the show on the video portion. If you're gonna listen to the podcast, it would be great if you went to Edify. Edify, yes, is a Christian podcast network, and we are so honored to have been invited to be on the on Edify. And so I'm going to play a little video here that will show you how to use Edify. So we'd appreciate it if you would download it to your phone or your tablet, and make sure and subscribe to our podcast. That would be amazing. So listen to this.
They have some great content.
Yes, and you can follow other people, not just us, but make sure and follow
that's
us.
That's okay too.
Here you go.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcast today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app. edifi.app.
So those of you on the live stream, the live video, thank you for commenting, Rayanna and Tim. That's awesome. If anybody else is on, and if you're watching the replay, please comment. Again, the way that the social medias work is that when people comment, the algorithms can tell that people are interested in what's being played, and then it'll push it out to other people. And it's a great way to get an audience. And we would love to be able to build this audience up a little bit larger so that we can change people's lives, and especially you with your story about leaving Islam to come to Christianity. I think is a great story that people, more people in Afghanistan and other places need to hear.
Thank you.
And we've had that. We have a large number of people watching in Korea and
in
India.
Korea.
And so it's very interesting.
Turkey.
And the UK recently has come up on there a lot. A few Canadians, but I fear Canada has been lost to the devil.
Oh, no, don't say that. There's always a remnant.
Almost like Washington, the state of Washington and Oregon.
No.
They need more God in these places. So if you're in Canada, make sure and subscribe so we can see that we're having an impact on Canada. I love Canada.
I mean, I love it.
I'm
not a fan.
No. The years of playing hockey, I've ended up in Vancouver and in Montreal and Calgary and Edmonton.
Montreal was probably one of the worst experiences I can compare to Uzbekistan. I almost got frostbite. Yeah, I was there in the dead of winter, and I had never experienced such cold in my entire life. And I told myself, I am never coming back to this godforsaken place ever again.
That's like our trip.
Sorry, any Montrealans out there, but I was just like, I was so stunned by how cold it was. I was miserable. I couldn't get warm to save my life.
Oh, wow. It's like San Francisco. I think I'd rather be in Uzbekistan.
I thought it was as cold as San Francisco.
We've been to countries all over the world, but I don't recall having breakfast or lunch and then having somebody go to the bathroom, defecate right next to you while you're eating lunch. That happened in San Francisco.
You were eating a chili dog.
That happened. I was in the Dominican Republic. I've been in Haiti. I've been in a lot of other places, not quite what you know, Afghanistan or Uzbekistan as you have, but I've been to a lot of countries, only in San Francisco. And then somebody defecate while I was eating lunch. So crazy. Like 10 feet from us.
Yes.
Bad. So don't go to San Francisco. It's lost. That's okay. That one's lost. But it was Hades. San Francisco is now Hades. All right, my friends. We love you guys.
Take care. God bless. Have a beautiful day.
Take care. Bye. Oops. Which one? I forget which one.